Morning, everyone. Let's all stand together. Welcome to New Hope. That's our Fuse band, by the way. It's our young adult ministry band, and they're going to rock the house today. Hey, anybody catch the Thunderbird air show yesterday? In fact, going on this afternoon as well. You know, I went out and saw them rehearse, and they practiced on Friday. And, man, I tell you, these multi-million dollar machines, I mean, they come just screaming through the sky. And I looked up, and I watched that happening, and I thought, that's where all our tax dollars are going, right there in that air show. I thought, you know, if man can make a machine that powerful, can you imagine what our powerful God can make? You know, we have a God that is a magnificent God. Would you welcome him? And let's worship him with all of our heart. Put our hands together, come on.
Oh Lord, we worship you, 'cause you are good. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Oh, sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
We sing, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue. good and your mercy endureth forever.
We sing people from every nation.
Generation to generation,
we worship you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
once was lost.
It says that to him who knows the right thing to do and then doesn't do it, to him it is sin. For some of us coming to church this week, we had many of those moments where we knew the right thing to do, we had the opportunity, God was poking us, let the guy go, we just cut us off in traffic. But we did it, we got mad, we sinned. And right now, for any of you who are coming to church and feeling guilty, like when we sing songs about God's love and His forgiveness and His grace, and you're asking, why am I deserving of this grace? Why am I deserving of His love, this forgiveness? I knew, but I didn't. So how can I come? Right now, we encourage you right now to embrace the love and the grace of God. When we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Stand in that right now. That God died for you, that He's died for us, and He covers us with His sacrifice, with His love. He covers all our sins. So right now, as we sing the song again, I would ask two things. One, that the men of this church would come together and stand and pray that God's Spirit would fall in this place, that His forgiveness and His grace would fall on people's hearts who have guilt and guilt-ridden, who are downtrodden. And two, that the women of our church would lift up a sound of praise to God. That would make a joyful noise. Mindy's gonna lead us. Men, let's pray from our hearts. Let's pray for that grace. Let's pray for that forgiveness. Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you.
a shout. Give a shout to the Lord today. What excites me about this weekend is when you look up here, I'm the oldest guy on stage. I mean, before I came out, Justin back here was the oldest guy. But you know, it shows me that God is alive and well in this church, because God will take the gospel from generation to generation. And you're seeing these young people up here. You know, they could have been just getting up. In fact, it's still too early for some of them. But they chose to wake up. You know, they were here like at 4:30, 5 o'clock, doing all 5 services. They could have been, yeah. They could have been anywhere else, sleeping in bed or out surfing or out on a picnic somewhere, doing whatever else the world is doing. But they chose to come here because their hearts are so filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think they deserve, again, a great clap. But it's cool to see what God is doing. You see, if you came here looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, you found him. He's right here. He's in our midst this morning. And it's not just the young people, but some of us too as well. Right, Pastor Larry? Some of us who have to lay a foundation, and we have a responsibility to mentor and to provide good leadership for our young people. And when God's hand is upon this church, man, look out, world, because we are going to be a light in this darkened community. But it requires all of us to join together as community to worship with one another. No matter what our background is, no matter where we come from, no matter what our generation may be, we do it together as a church. That's the community of God. And I'm so excited about this weekend. God will speak to you this weekend. I know that. He already has. He's going to continue to speak to you throughout this service. Join hands with the person next to you, would you? Reach across the aisles. And when we're done praying, you know, kind of squeeze in. We got a lot of people still wanting to find some seats here, but we're going to do it together as a family. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just your presence here this morning, where you exist in all of our hearts, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of mistakes we may have made in the past. Father, you still bring your Holy Spirit here and dwell within our hearts. And we love you for that, Lord. We thank you for raising up a next generation, even behind us, where we can be assured that your gospel will continue to be a light in this world. Father, we pray for those here on the stage, as well as young leaders in our community, those that are at Eugene, Father, where Pastor Wayne is raising up another generation there in Eugene. Lord, we pray for all of our leaders, our young leaders within this church. Lord, we know that a mighty movement is happening, and we're so glad you called us to be a part of it. For our brother and sister on our right and left, Lord, we pray that your blessings will shower upon them today. Father, would you speak to our hearts? Allow us to be different on the inside than when we came in, and may we indeed reflect you in all that we do, starting today. We love you and we praise you. We love you for loving us. We worship you with all of our hearts this morning. We rejoice in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Would you thank him again? Give someone a hug and welcome them to New Hope today. Go ahead and do that.
Good morning, everybody. Aloha kakahi akakako apao. Aloha. food. All right. I just wanted to bless you right there. Auntie in the third row, right there with the purse on your lap. Yeah. It's a nice empty plate. Okay. All right. No eat 'em in service, no. Enjoy. That's a combination fish and kalbi plate. It's being sold outside. Our Mandu Express, along with our women's ministry, is selling kalbi plate as well as a fish plate, so you can pick that up outside. Help support our women's here at New Hope. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone outside and everyone streaming live. Welcome to New Hope. Welcome to God's living room. Highlighting some of the announcements in your bulletins. If you haven't already, next week, Sunday at 3 p.m. at Magic Island Beach Park, we have water baptism. So if you felt led to go get and just cleanse yourself, come down and enjoy the fellowship with great servants and members here at New Hope. Bring a change of clothes, a towel, and a potluck dish, okay? You can bring leftovers, no problem, okay? And we also, Nick, this coming Friday, we have another movie night right outside in the courtyard. And it's a movie called China Cry. And speaking about our women's ministry, our own Susie Lamb, who oversees this ministry, this movie is about her mother-in-law. It's a true story. It's about her mother-in-law who was persecuted in China. So it's a heartfelt, very touching movie. So it's, join us, guys, right outside here. They'll have hot dogs and popcorns and soft drinks for sale, but you can still bring your own dish if you want to. So join us this coming Friday. Also today, we've got Life Group Leaders Meeting at the Ministry Center. And we also have, in 2010, a Holy Land Tour trip. And if you're part of that, you have a meeting today, too, at the Lead Center. So we got all kinds of stuff. It's located in your announcements. And just go outside and check out our tables under the tent for more information, all right? We're going to ask the ushers to prepare for us our tithes and offerings as we prepare our hearts in giving. Let us pray. Epulikako. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again to offer you that pleasing aroma, Father. Lord, we love you so much. And we come to listen to your words spoken through our Pastor Elwin, Father. Thank you so much for the anointings and the blessings that you've given him. May it never stop, Father. May you continue to bless him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Father. So, Lord, we come now with hearts filled with thanksgiving as we give to you our tithes and offerings, that you'll bless it and multiply it and bless the giver as well. So, Father, we love you. Help us to grow in relationships as a church, Father. Help us to develop that kind of love, that godly love, a love that lifts us up. So, Father, thank you for all the angels that you've blessed us with within these walls, outside, and streaming live, Father. Thank you, man. It's such an honor to come to church and be touched by an angel. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. In essence, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece. So God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that doesn't need to be there. Mold me into the image of your son so that I can be your original masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa! who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. You said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
If I made it snow in here, it'd be kind of yucky.
See, you're not God. God wouldn't say yucky.
Sure I do. It's a Greek word.
Okay. If you're God, then what does Lamentations 15:10 say?
Lamentations only has 5 chapters.
Okay. If you're God, then who's going to win this year's World Series?
You know, I'm not so much into playing games. But why are you?
I guess you are God. What's with that?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you my original masterpiece.
Well, I thought you was a carpenter.
That's my son. Okay, let's go.
Whoa. I mean, how do you know what to chisel and what to leave behind?
I just take out everything in your life that's not of me. All that dead weight.
Oh, in that case, can we chisel, like, right here, you know? Because I have a problem right here, and just give me some abs of steel so I don't have to suck in my gut when I go into the beach.
Okay, you
want to
talk? or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
Yeah, because most of my kids, they love to talk.
Oh, not me. Bring on the chisel.
All right, here we go. You got a lot of anger here. Some pride. You compare yourself to others instead of me.
Oh.
Uh-oh. You got it. Some lust here.
Whoa, time out. I do not have a problem with lust. Okay, but, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing pretty good. But when you look in the mirror, what do you see?
I see me.
Then I need to keep on chiseling away because ultimately others have to see me.
Well, okay, don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start to look more like your son, people around me get uncomfortable. Even my friends at church are like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that?
You know what you're doing now? It's you're playing God over certain areas of your life instead of letting me be God over your whole life.
I didn't say that.
That's what you meant.
Okay, look, it's just so hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything that I'm thinking. I mean, I was just thinking maybe we can come back to it, take a time out, you know?
Okay, what you're doing now is called controlling. You want to control things in your life, or can I chisel?
No. Chisel. Chisel.
That's called control.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
You know, I don't think you understand the pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for sin and pain. But I did it for another reason. I did it to give you freedom. You know what insanity is? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. There are things in your life that don't work, but you keep doing them. You go to these empty wells whenever you're tired and hurt, lonely, but they do not work.
Okay, look, I was just thinking that maybe...
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but maybe if we go another way...
Your ways are not my ways.
Okay, look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I made you good. Be good.
I mean, it's just that I...
What?
Nothing. You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something my children has to say. Try me.
It's just that, God, I let you down so much.
You've been listening for far too long to voices that are not of me. You think you're junk, don't you? Listen to me. I don't make junk. Check your back pocket.
Why?
You arguing with me?
God.
Yes?
Just, I mean, I was just saying, God. God, I'll do it right now.
You're saying my name in vain.
It was just like saying a name or saying, you know, it's just...
It's not just the name. It's not just a bad habit. It's the name above all names. Just check your back pocket. You know what that is?
Yeah, this is a page from my journal I had when I was younger. How did you get...
Hello?
All right.
Go ahead. Read it.
I love Angie Holland.
The other side.
Dear God, today I'm turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how that's possible, but I want it all, with all that I am. So please, do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. But I love you too much to leave you where you're at. Don't think of this salvation as a sentimental mush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else. And don't think of this as a prison. Think of it as a father disciplining his child Yeah, a father disciplines the one that he loves.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to be tough.
It'll be tough. But you bought into the lie that everything would be easy when you said yes to me. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there, and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is
God. No, not the way you see yourself, not the way you fear others see you, the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. And you. And you. God doesn't make junk. You are God's original masterpiece.
I remember when you were so alive with your wide eyes and the light that you had in your heart was stolen. Now you say that it ain't worth staying. You wanna run, but you're hesitating. I'm talking to me. So let the lights go down. So let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. There's a girl on the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you. It's calling you. Don't let the lights go down. Don't let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand out. Let's have a
in the mirror in the morning, what do you see? Do you see God's original masterpiece there? Well, are there areas of your life that needs to be kind of like chiseled away? Maybe one or two areas? You know, sometimes we don't realize it, but we're just like one step away from God's best for our lives. Isn't that true? One step away from the best that He has for our family or for our relationship. And sometimes we just don't want to take that step. That's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, I've been telling you of teaching Jared and baseball and football, some of the mechanics of it, and trying to teach him how to catch a fly ball. And so I would
throw a fly ball towards him, and I would say, Jared, now run under the ball so you can catch the ball. And so he would like give me every intention of going to get it. And so he'd get himself ready and said, you ready? Right? So I'd throw the ball to him, and he'd take off to where the ball is going to land, and he would stop one step away from where the ball is supposed to be. And so he stops there, and the ball drops right in front of him. And I go, ah, one more step, Jared. Just take one more step. And so I try it again. Throw the ball to him, and he'll run after the ball, and then he'll stop, and the ball drops right in front of him. I said, Jared, just take one more step. Why can't you take that last step? Or like in flag football, he'll run after the guy, and he'll try and grab the flag, and he's like one step away, and he'll swipe at it, and he'll miss, and he'll come to the sideline and go, Dad, I almost pulled his flag. I said, yeah, next time, pull the flag, you know, one more step. You know, sometimes we're like that in life. We're like one step away from a good marriage, one step away from a good relationship. And sometimes we don't want to take it. Why is that? You know, we're not alone if we find ourselves in that situation. Many of the ones in the Bible that we read about, in fact, two-thirds of those in the Bible started off their ministry well, but didn't finish well. They were one step away. Moses, good example. Moses led the 2 million people out of Egypt in the Exodus. And when it came to a point where the people were thirsty and they came upon this rock, God said to Moses, now strike the rock. And so he struck it and all the water came out and people were satisfied. Well, they traveled some more. They got thirsty again. And God said, speak to the rock. Remember what Moses did? Struck the rock. And because of that one move, God said, you know the promised land, Moses? Ah, shucks. You can't enter that promised land because of that one step. One step that you shouldn't have taken. Moses missed out. David, good king, very obedient, very well-known king. But you remember what the Bible said? When the kings went out to war, David stayed at home. And because he stayed at home, his eyes went searching, got himself into an adulterous affair, which led to murder, and finally the death of his infant son. David missed it because of that one step. There's a king in the Bible also called Josiah. In fact, at the top of your notes, we're going to read a scripture about Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he was appointed king. Can you imagine that? 8-year-old kid assuming the throne. And he ruled for 31 years over the nation of Judah. And he was appointed a king at a time when it was in turmoil. A lot of idolatry going on, a lot of immoralities happening, wars in surrounding nations. And Josiah, as he began to live his life out as a king, began to realize that something wasn't quite right here. And he felt he needed to align the country back to the ways of God. And so they destroyed all the altars, got rid of all the foreign gods, began to just reinstate the temple, repair the temple. When they found the book of the law of Moses, again began to institute all of the laws, all of the requirements that Moses had received from God himself. Well, it was written about Josiah that because of what he did, he gained a great reputation. In fact, top of your notes, read that scripture with me together as to what Josiah was to be known for. Read that. Ready? Go. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph for him? If he had died at that moment, we would remember Josiah for exactly that. One of the greatest kings ever. No king before him or after him. He followed all the laws of God. Wouldn't that be great to be said about you? If at your funeral, a eulogy is being read, he was the greatest man. We know of no other that was a father like him. He loved the Lord God. He loved his kids. Did everything right. That would be a great epitaph, wouldn't that be? Something written on your tombstone? Well, Josiah had that chance. But because of one step, he missed it. For in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, we read about Josiah going into battle now. God didn't tell him to. But after he had set everything in order, the temple, everything was in order in his country, he went out and challenged a king from the country of Egypt, King Necho. And Necho said to him, Josiah, go back home. Don't bother with me because the Lord God said to me to challenge this other king. And I'm set out to destroy him. And Josiah, you're interfering with what God had instructed me. So go home. Josiah didn't listen. He never consulted God on this. He just went and interfered on his own. And because of that, in the midst of battle, an arrow was shot, struck Josiah, and he died. And because of his death, the entire nation of Judah was turned upside down. King Nebuchadnezzar came in, wiped out Judah, brought them all into exile into Babylon. Everything was turned in topsy-turvy because Josiah missed that one step. You know, sometimes we're one step away from our marriages flourishing. We're one step away from our finances falling into order. You know, if we find ourselves in that situation, let me encourage you, first of all, that if we've made some mistakes, you know, we've all made mistakes. But it's never too late to be what you might have been, someone once said. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Although no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start to make a brand new ending. We can all change the way things are going to end up. We all have that opportunity. But it's going to require us to take that one step, whatever that is, whatever God may be asking us to do, or whatever God may be asking us not to do, and to hold back from it. So how do we gain a life like that? How do we establish a lifestyle so that when God speaks to us, we take that step, or we refrain from what we are planning to do instead? Number one, would you write this in your notes? Live by what you know and not by how you feel. Live by what you know. When God separated mankind from animals, he gave mankind the ability to think and to reason, to think through logically certain situations. But sometimes I think that the greatest asset that God has given to us has become our greatest liability when it comes to our relationship with God. Because we then take that ability to rationalize and we turn ourselves away from what God may be asking of us in our lives. We begin to justify our decisions. We begin to look at everything in terms of our own interests rather than God's. Even if deep inside we know what we should be doing or we know what we shouldn't be doing. Deep inside, we instead think it through and we come up with all kinds of reasons, all kinds of excuses why we shouldn't live that way. We'd rather live by how we feel than by what we know. For example, exercise. I know I need to exercise. You know how I know? There's no way I'm going to keep up with a 7-year-old son unless I exercise. You know how else I know I need to exercise? He keeps telling me that I'm fat. Dad, you're fat. I said, I'm not fat. He says, yeah, you are fat. And so I begin to exercise. You know, I established this exercise routine where we have a condo that's 25 stories high and there's like 3 extra floors. And so I begin to run. I started to run the stairs. And so I'm trying to work out. So I said, I'm not fat. Well, one day we're taking a shower and, you know, take a shower together and I'm washing my hair. He's standing behind me and he hits me from behind and he says, whoa, Dad, your body got waves. And I wanted to knock him off, you know. But, you know, I know I need to exercise. I know I need to work out. Now, do I like doing it? The only time I get to work out is like first thing in the morning. Do I like running stairs at 6 o'clock in the morning? No, I don't like doing it. But I know I need to do it. And sometimes I think we live our lives like that. We know what we have to do. We don't like doing it. And so we live by how we feel, by our desires. That's just our natural tendencies. And God knows that about us, so he gives us reminders time and time again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my life verse. Would you read that with me together? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, God gives us reminders because he knows that we don't trust him. It's easier to come up with an excuse why not to do something God is asking us to do. Or why we're doing something that God is telling us not to do. It's easier to come up with an excuse than to follow what he's asking of us. Forgive that person. Nah, I don't want to. Well, you know you should forgive him. Yeah, I know that, but I don't feel like forgiving him. He doesn't deserve it. You know, after what he did to me, oh, but you know you should forgive him. Yeah, I know that. Well, then forgive him. All right. I'll forgive him, but I won't forget. You ever said that before? Well, I'll forgive him, but God, you never told me when. So I'll just wait till I feel like doing it. And God says, no. Live by what you know, not by how you feel. Well, I know that relationship that I'm in right now is not the best thing for me. I know that I should be investing my time other places. But you know, if it's so wrong, God, then why does it feel so good when I'm with Him? Why does it feel so good when we're on the phone together? But you know it's not right. Oh yeah, I know it's not right. But you know, God, I deserve better. I deserve the very best. And so if I'm not getting that in my present relationship, then I'm going to just cut that off and live according to what I feel is right. But you know it's wrong. Yeah, I know it's wrong. We live like that, don't we? We oftentimes default to how we feel, our desires, versus what we know is right. We may know the Word, but so many times our desires overrule the Word of God in our lives. You know, I'm very proud to say that as a dad, to see a 7-year-old son finish his journal, he completed an entire children's journal where every day he would record the scripture and what God is saying. And every day his journal would say, "Help me to be a good boy. Help me to listen. Help me to be a good boy. Help me to listen." Every day he would write the same thing. And I thought, that's so cute. But has it changed his life? Let me tell you what just happened. We were driving home one day, and I said to Jared, and I want to obey the law, so I gave him my cell phone. I said, "Call Mom and ask her what's for dinner." So he called, and he says, "Hi, Mom. So what's for dinner?" "Okay. Bye." So what does she say? "Oh, not much." I say, "What do you mean, not much? What is she making dinner? Do we have dinner at home?" "Oh, I don't know." I said, "You just talk to her. Call her again." So he called her, and he said, "Hey, Mom, so what's for dinner?" And I said to him, "Tell her, if she hasn't made dinner, let's go to Zippy's. They got this discount going on now, although she hates Zippy's. I said, you know, tell her, let's go to Zippy's, or, you know, I can bring home food or something." He says, "Mom, you want to go to Zippy's?" And I know her answer. And so as we're driving by this Hawaiian food place, I said to him, "Well, tell her if, you know, want me to pick up Lau Lau's, I can pick up Lau Lau's." Dad said, "If you want Lau Lau's, okay, bye." And what did she say? She said, "You can pick up whatever you want." I said, "Okay." So we drove into the Lau Lau place, the Hawaiian food, and took some Lau Lau's, and I said, "Oh, okay. Kalua pig is good. Throw that in there, and, oh, fresh kulolo. Let's get some kulolo, and haupia, oh, that's good, right after dinner, and got lomi salmon and the long rice, and, you know, pile it all into these plates." And now we're driving home, and you can smell the Lau Lau's in the car, and my stomach is just growling, and I'm drooling like probably you are right now. You know, I'm just so hungry. It's Aloha Friday, and we're going to have this Hawaiian feast at home. Well, I drive home, take the bags, we catch our elevator, go up to our floor, open the front door, and immediately I smell dinner cooking. Exactly my reaction. Walked in the house. Dinner was already made. She's in the bedroom. I put the food down. I go to her and I say, "I thought you weren't making dinner." "No, I told your son that I was making dinner, and he just kept bugging me, so I told him, pick up whatever you want then. Now I got to make peace." And I turned to Jared. I said, "Why didn't you tell me what Mom said?" He's like, he walks away. Now, we bring out both sets of food on the table, and now to make peace in the house, I got to eat both what she made and the Lau Lau. That's how I get the waves on my body, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, you do your devotions every day. You say you want to be a good boy. You say you're not going to lie. And, you know what happened? He got the Word of God here, but it hasn't sunk down here yet, has it? He can know the Word of God here, but for some reason, I don't know if he doesn't like her cooking or whatever, his desires overruled what God was saying to him all along. And I think, man, we live our lives like that too, don't we, as adults? We know what God is saying, but it doesn't sink here. That's why Jesus gives us reminders again. In Mark chapter 4, he talks about the sower and the seeds. The sower is sowing the Word of God. And the Word falls upon the rocky soil. It falls upon the roadway on the side. But some seed fall upon the thorns. Let's read together what Mark 4 says there. Ready? Go. "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the Word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Stop right there. Would you circle the word, the phrase, hear the word? See, regardless of where that seed is sown, regardless of where the word of God is spread, we hear the word. But what's the difference? Those who were unfruitful heard the word, but the riches of the world, the worries of the world, as they begin to intellectualize it, as they begin to reason things through in their minds, that got in the way. And so the word of God didn't make any difference in their lives, so they became unfruitful. Did they know the word? Yeah, they knew the word. They're probably doing their devotions, but nothing got down here in their hearts. But seed that fell upon good soil has a different result. Let's continue reading there. Others, ready? Go. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Would you circle the words accept it? See, the difference between fruitfulness and unfruitfulness, first of all, starts with the soil. Well, what is good soil? Soil takes time to be nurtured and fertilized to become good soil. It takes some work there. Question is, what are you using to nurture your soil? What are you using to nurture your heart? Is it like shows like Sex in the City, Desperate Housewives? Is it like Korean dramas that's influencing your heart? Or is it the Word of God that's influencing your heart, that's nurturing your heart? Because when your heart now becomes nurtured and it's good soil, you will now hear the Word and you'll be able to accept it. Well, what does that mean, to accept it? That means to, when you hear the word, it almost becomes a duty on your heart. It becomes a responsibility you feel that you gotta do this, what God is saying. Regardless of whether you understand it or agree with it, or whether it makes sense to you, you will do exactly what God is asking you to do. Hear the insight, not where you're trying to think it through. Hear in your heart. Because when your heart has been cultivated and the word of God sinks in there, no one has to tell you whether it's right or wrong, do they? You know. You do a deep search in your heart, and you know what you should be doing. You know what you shouldn't be doing. But it takes you time to nurture your heart, to fertilize it with God's soil, with God's word. See, if it's in here, and you follow what's happening in your heart, you won't fall off. You won't go wrong. If it's in here, in your head, you'll always lose your balance. You know, I took up a new sport recently. It's called stand-up paddle, where you don't lay on the board to surf. You stand up on the board, and you have this paddle, and you surf. Well, when I first started learning, I was like a wet rat, man. Every time I stood up on the board, boom, I topple over. I stand up again, boom, I topple over the other way. And I was getting so frustrated until one day I looked at Pastor Roy, our chaplain, and he does stand-up, and he's been doing it for years. And he stands there on the board, and he just relaxes and talks to people. And I said, Roy, how do you do that? Because every time I stand up, I fall off. He said, well, Pastor Owen, you got to stand up. I said, I am. He says, no, you're not. You're paddling this way. You look like an old man the way you paddle. And I said, okay. And he said, stand up and relax. That's why they call it stand up, Pastor Owen. Stand up and relax. And now keep your head still. But whenever a little wave comes by, you just move your middle section, your hips. So if it's coming one way, you kind of shift your hips this way. Coming another way, you just shift your hips this way. But you keep your head steady. And so you know what? I went out and I tried it, and it works. Tell myself to stand up. Okay, stand up. Now relax. Now, okay, here it comes. All right, shift left. All right, shift right. And it really works. That's why when you see me walking around now, I walk like this. But you know, I thought, that's just like the Word of God. Isn't that true? The Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your head.
No.
Trust in the Lord with all your intellect.
No.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right here. And lean not on your own understanding. Up here. See, when we begin to try to understand and rationalize and figure things out up here, when we get our heads involved, you fall off. You will fall off. Every single time. Guaranteed. But if you keep your head steady and you say, Lord, okay, speak to my heart now. Speak to my heart, all right? Move to the left, all right? Move to the right. Okay, now you get a balance in life. And folks, when you can achieve that, the Lord says you are becoming fruitful. But it's in here. It's not how you feel or what, how your desires or your passions. It's right in here. What is God saying to you deep inside? You know what it is. You know exactly what God is asking of you. Then you can take that step. See, what's helped me a lot is a scripture called James 3:17. It's in your notes there. Read that scripture with me. Ready? Go. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That scripture will flush out all the wrong motives from the inside. Any major decision you go through, apply that scripture to your life from the inside, not intellectualizing it, from the inside. What is God saying about it? You know, number two, would you write this in? Make a commitment to live a life without regrets. How do you do that? Disregard the doubts. Doubts that may arise. You know, many times, when you think about it, a person who's lived a life of regret will probably tell you it's because they allowed their doubts to control the decisions for their future. And so they live a life of woulda, coulda, shoulda. Well, I would have done that, but, you know, I could have, but, and all these doubts prevented them from stepping into God's best for their lives. And maybe it's because of some pain or frustration or some experience that it just exploded in their face. Maybe they trusted someone and that whole relationship exploded in front of them. So they can no longer trust. You know, don't let the doubts because of past experiences, past mistakes, don't let the doubts that develop overshadow God's promises for your future. There's so many times that you will experience something that just explodes, but you've got to be able to trust that God still has a future and a hope for you. You know, I had an experience where I was late for this business appointment, and I was, you know, dressed in a business attire, and I had to get some papers signed off, but I kind of ate something bad for lunch, and so I went to our bathroom here at our ministry center, and I went into one of the stalls, and you know, my mom always said to me, you know, if it smells bad, flush the toilet. And so I'm sitting down, and I reach behind. It's one of these toilets where you have the stem and a lever there. And so I reached behind, and I flushed it, and that whole stem came off, and the water went kaboom like this. It was this geyser just shooting up over my head. It's covering me. I'm just soaking wet. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to get to this appointment? How am I going to, you know, I haven't just, you know, cleaned up yet. So I look, the toilet paper is all wet. So I kind of pulled up my pants halfway, opened the stall, and I kind of walked out this way, got into the next stall and closed it. And I called Pastor Dom. He was our facility guy at the time. I said, Dom, would you get in here? He came in, and the first thing he said out of his mouth was, who died in this place, man? I said, Dom, can you clean this up? Because I'm late for this appointment. And so he told me, okay, well, go ahead, Pastor Allen. So I left. And now I know I'm going to have to use the bathroom again someday at the Lead Center. Now, you're wondering which stall it is. I won't tell you. You figure it out for yourself. But I'm going to need to trust somehow at some time. Will I doubt this stall? Yeah, it's kind of hard to go back to that stall. But at some time, I'm going to have to trust. Sometimes in our lives, something will just explode in front of us. And we're thinking, oh, no way will I ever get involved with that again. But you know, God may be wanting you to take a step. And what's holding you back? Some doubts. Some fears. Don't let the doubts created by things that happened in the past hold you back from a step that God may be asking you to take. With a nurtured heart, knowing the Word of God is speaking to you, He may be asking you to take this step, to take this risk. How are you going to know that? James 3:17. Get together with others in a life group that can help you to process that through. But we got to understand, see, when we go through times like that, whether it's a painful moment or of an experience that was really frustrating, God has a reason for that. Psalm 119 speaks to that. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statute. Would anybody write that today? It was good for me to be afflicted. No way. We don't like affliction. We don't like pain. But the psalmist says, don't allow the pains of your life to push you away from God. Let it pull you even closer to Him. You know, a man that knew all about pain, knew all about explosions, Paul. But Paul continued to walk forward. He never doubted his God. And because of that, we can sit here today benefiting from his ministry. Read what Philippians 3 says. Ready? Go. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul didn't hesitate. He didn't doubt, no matter what was exploding in front of him. He continued to press on. And that's the difference between those who will achieve God's best for their lives, those who will take that step forward, versus those that don't. It's all in one word. It's called persistence. Would you write in number 3? Live a life of persistence. Because sometimes I think we quit too easily, don't we? We give up too easily. We don't like the pain, and so we avoid it. And when we quit, we forfeit giving God a chance to begin to walk us through this season and take us into his best, his very best. There's an account of Bill Hybels, who is a pastor of a church in Chicago, Illinois, Willow Creek Association, Willow Creek Community Church. Talked about a time when he met up with a woman in one of the stairwells of his building after a baptism service. It was a very joyous service, and so he was wondering why she was in the stairwell crying and struggling. Well, she said to him that she was struggling because her mom was baptized today, and he couldn't figure that out until she began to explain. She said she had been praying for her mom, and after 5 years of praying for her mom, the Lord still wasn't answering. Her mom still wasn't turning the corner. And so she said to herself, who needs this? God isn't listening. Why should I pray anymore? After 10 years, she said again to herself, man, why am I wasting my breath? God just doesn't seem to want to respond. After 15 years, she said, this is absurd. Why do I keep pressing on like this? After 19 years of praying, she said to herself, I'm just a fool. But I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trying. And even though my faith felt weakened, I kept praying. And one day, mom gave her life to Christ. And today, she got baptized. I will never doubt the power of prayer again. Isn't that a cool story? Sometimes we pray, don't we? We pray that God will bring healing to our loved ones, and instead they pass away. Or we pray that somehow our marriage will reconcile, but we still end up in divorce. You know, sometimes we have so many doubts caused by the law of diminishing returns. We pray, 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 but it seems to be get less, 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 and we give up on God's dreams, and we give up on God's hopes and the promise of a future and a hope for our lives. Don't give up, folks. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while we're doing good. You know, when we do good, we get tired. When we try to do things God's way, when we listen to what he's saying to us in our hearts, it gets tiring sometimes, but Paul says, don't give up. Because in due time, you will reap if you don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, Paul experienced that. He was told by the Holy Spirit that when you go to Jerusalem, there's bonds and afflictions awaiting for you there. And his friends said to him, Paul, don't go, don't go. But Paul took that step. And he knew that even though it was a risk, he needed to fulfill what God was asking him to do. Acts 20, let's read that last scripture. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. What is that task that God is asking you to complete? As a husband, as a wife, your family, your workplace, what is God asking of you? That one more step that you need to take to complete the picture he has for your life, to bring you into the best that he has for you. What is that that he's asking of you? You know, imagine if Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed and he was dropping sweat of blood, said to himself, you know what, this isn't worth it. I can't take anymore. And he walked away. What if in the midst of him being beaten and whipped and being spat upon, he said, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. Why do I have to go to the cross? Forget this stuff. And he walked away from what God himself had asked him to do. Where would we be today? What would have happened to our lives? But despite all that he went through, Jesus still took that step towards the cross. Because of that, we get to live, not just today, but for all eternity. See, sometimes God is asking us to take a step. That's why we take communion. And today I'm going to ask, go ahead, ushers, would you come on down? And they're going to pass the trays. And when they do so, would you take a bread and would you take a cup of juice and spend some time thanking the Lord for the step that he took? And then spend some time asking yourself, Lord, what are you asking me to do? What is that step you want me to do? And Father, would you begin to chisel away the things that are not of me to make me more like you? Go ahead and pass it. Hold it, begin to reflect some, and then we'll come out and we'll take it together.
Would you hold the bread and the cup in front of you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for the step that you took for our lives, for our sins. Father, forgive us for the times that we've even taken that for granted. Will we go on with our busyness of life and forget that you took the most important step of all? You didn't have to. Father, you were one without sin, but yet you died for us. And you continue to die for us as long as we sin in our lives, Father. But we don't want to do that anymore. Father, we want to live according to your ways. And so when we look in the mirror, we may see your image and not ourselves anymore. It's going to require us to take a step, doesn't it? It's going to require us to brush away and to chisel away the things that are not of you. Whatever that may be as you speak to our hearts today, whether it's forgiveness or extending grace to one another, whatever adjustment that you want us to take, Father, let us do so today. And as we take the bread and we drink this cup, we're reminded of the new life that you've given to us. So help us, Lord, to indeed live a life anew into a future and a hope that you promised us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Take the bread. Now the juice. As you leave this morning, the ushers will have a receptacle. You can go ahead and put your cups in there. But isn't it good to sit sometimes and just reflect on what God has done and now what do we need to do? What is our response? You know exactly what that is. God is speaking to your heart. Make the changes. Just one step. And you'll see that all that God has for you. Then we can become a church that will be this bright light in this community. Can we do that together? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Pray with me once more as we conclude. Father, thank you, Lord, again for a time that we can just reflect with you. Now help us to be different from the inside out. We leave now differently than when we came in here. We praise you for who you are and all that you've done in our lives. We live to rejoice with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Seal that to your hearts with a clap. Someone as you go.